This is the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. Here's your host, Taylor Phillips.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 4 of the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Phillips. Already 1 month into this, hard to believe. But if you haven't heard this or this is your first time tuning in, what this podcast serves to do is give you the high notes of the Rangers week that was, if there are any, because it's been a rough season so far. But if you've been busy all week and you need to catch up on the Rangers, you haven't been able to watch much baseball, maybe you're following the NFL draft like everybody else, then I'm here to catch you up on what you may have missed. So,
here's what you may have missed this week in Rangers baseball.
This podcast will start with the period of April 22nd to April 27th, a stretch where the Rangers went 3-2, which sounds good. But I should probably clarify, the last one I did of these was last Saturday, where they had just lost 3 straight. So they were able to avoid the sweep to the Mariners at home with a win last Sunday, Martin Perez picking up the win. And that was an important game for Perez, because if you remember me last week talking about how people were starting to wonder if he's going to be able to keep his spot in the rotation with his performance so far, and he had a really rough outing in Tampa against the Rays before this start on Sunday against the Mariners. But he looks pretty solid. 6 innings, 7 hits, 2 earned runs, 4 strikeouts. Picked up his second win. The bullpen only allowing 1 run in relief of him. Keone Kella picking up his 3rd save at the time. And then in that game as well, on offense, he was getting some help from Joey Gallo and Nomar Mazar, who each homered. And Delino DeShields made his return to the lineup that day as well and made a very, very impressive catch in center field that I'll get to in a moment. But for Martin Perez, back to him real quick. Solid start on his part, and that was one he needed badly. Then Jeff Bannister was questioned after the game by the media. They were asking him, was that a game where Perez was needing to pitch for his spot in the rotation? And of course, he's going to say he has confidence in Perez. That's one of his top guys. And frankly, on this team, yeah, that's true. Who's out there behind him that's going to come in and take a spot? Even if he were to just keep having rough outing after rough outing, Martin Perez is going to be in this rotation to stay. And I know there's a 6-man rotation as far as you have Matt Moore, Mike Minor, because of Bartolo Colon coming in and pitching so well, but I just don't see Perez getting bounced for any of those guys. I really don't. I know Bartolo's looked solid so far, and Martin Perez has been known to be very streaky as a pitcher, but I think Perez is the guy who's going to stay in there, and he looked that way last Sunday, picking up the win. The Rangers would go on to lose the next 2 games when they welcomed in the Oakland A's, who were coming off a very historic weekend that I'll get to a little bit later and most interesting. But the first game on Monday, the Rangers lost 9-4. It was one of those games where, as we were used to last season, the bullpen got shelled in this one. Matt Moore went 5 innings, gave up 3 earned runs, which was fine because the Oakland starter Trevor Cahill also gave up 3 earned runs. The difference was the Oakland A's bullpen, 4 innings scoreless in relief of Cahill. The Rangers bullpen really fell apart in the 8th and 9th inning, where Kevin Jepsen allowed 4 earned runs and Jesse Chavez would also be tagged for 2 runs. So another bullpen game that just didn't work out for the Rangers, because as we've talked about before on this podcast, their starters are not eating innings. So these are games that you can expect from time to time, with the starting pitchers only going about 6 innings or so. You're hoping that bullpen can stay strong late in the game, and on Monday that was not the case. Moving on to Tuesday, Cole Hamels got the start against the Oakland A's. He went against Andrew Triggs of Oakland. And Hamels was able to pitch into the 7th inning, 6 1/3, 5 strikeouts, actually hit 3 batters. That was a little strange to see from Cole Hamels. But the Rangers were not able to pull this one out. Jake Diekman gave up a run late in the game. And so the Rangers ended up losing this one 3-2. And then moving on to Wednesday, they were finally able to break this rough stretch of games against the Oakland A's earlier in the week, where they won 4-2. Jesse Chavez picked up the win in this one. Doug Fister made his first start back after missing some time with a hip injury. 4 2/3 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts. The bullpen was able to make up for some earlier faux pas earlier in the week. Pitch solid behind Doug Fister, not allowing a run. Jesse Chavez, Alex Claudio, Chris Martin, and Keone Kella pitching in relief in this one. The 4th save for Kella. And another person who in this game who was playing third base, and there's a reason he's playing third base. I'll tell you that in a moment, but Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, 1-for-3 in the win on Wednesday, picking up a huge hit late in the game to help win the game for the Rangers. But he was making the start at third base. The infield in this game consisted of Ronald Guzman at first, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa at third, Drew Robinson at second, Jerickson Profar at short. What do all those names have in common? None of those guys are typically starters, and when the season started, there was a whole different look in the infield. You had Joey Gallo at first, Rougned Odor at second, Elvis Andrus at short, and Adrian Beltre at third. And we've covered before, Odor's out for a while with a hamstring injury, Elvis Andrus with a fractured elbow. Go figure that on Tuesday, the Rangers would miss Adrian Beltre in this one, injured himself with a base hit late in the game, was put on the 10-day DL with a strained left hamstring, and for Ranger fans, it really just can't get much worse, unfortunately. You have a guy like Adrian Beltre, who was supposed to be that veteran presence in the lineup, with everybody else hurt, all these young guys getting time in the majors, pretty much ahead of schedule than when you thought they would, guys like Guzman and Kiner-Falefa. But Beltre was somebody, you needed that veteran in the lineup just to tell guys how the game's supposed to be played, and just not having Beltre in the lineup is going to really hurt, not just on the field, but off the field as well. He'll still be in the dugout, of course, being a de facto coach, but a very costly injury for the Rangers in a season that's already just been marred by injuries. And finally, before I move on to the only top moment I felt from the week that was with the Rangers, they were able to finally pick up a series opening win on Friday in Toronto against the Blue Jays. They won 6-4, Mike Minor picking up his second win of the year, both wins coming against the Blue Jays. And one highlight from this game, notably, Keone Kella, his fifth save, one inning, one strikeout, only took him 5 pitches to pick up the save. Can't really get much more dominant than that if you're Keone Kella. But back to Mike Minor, it was reported after the game that he felt that he didn't have a good bullpen. He was wondering if that was going to, his bullpen before the game, and was wondering if that was going to translate to when he reached the mound to make the start. Struggled a little bit in the beginning, 4 runs, still managed to go through 6 innings, still managed to keep them in it. The offense was able to score enough to pull this one out. And finally, before I move on to my most interesting moment from the Rangers week, Matt Busch was optioned to AAA earlier in the week. He pitched on Monday and Tuesday in the games against the Athletics. Both of them were losses. In his appearance on Monday, 1/3 of an inning, got a walk. And in his second outing and Tuesday's loss, 2/3 of an inning, 1 hit, 1 walk. But what was really concerning people, as I mentioned, those 2 walks, his control with the curveball was a real concern. Throwing way more curveballs than most years. And the Rangers felt that he needed to go work on that in AAA. And it started to spark the question of, did the Rangers mess up with another reliever? There was some talk during spring training about making Matt Busch a starter. They ended up not making him a starter. So it wasn't like he went out and failed as a starter in the regular season, but that definitely changes how you prepare moving towards the regular season. And people were starting to throw out names like Naftali Feliz and Tanner Shepherds, guys who in the past they tried to make starters and it just kind of messed them up from that point on. I hope that Matt Busch is able to turn things around in AAA, but you start to wonder if this is another one of those moments where the Rangers may have just screwed up another reliever. So hopefully Matt Busch is able to correct things down in Round Rock. So that takes me to my number one moment from this week with the Texas Rangers.
Number one.
And this one lifted high in the air out to center. The Shields feeling for the wall, leaps, and he got it! What a catch! Takes a home run away from David Freitas, and welcome back Delino DeShields.
Poor David Freitas, the day before, that one might go over when Delino DeShields is not in center field, but on Sunday he made his appearance back in the lineup, and DeShields made the play of the season so far in the field for the Rangers. Hopefully he's able to stay healthy and make more of those moving forward. So that's the week that was with the Texas Rangers. Now let's move on to a segment that we do every week, Most Interesting.
It's time for the most interesting thing from the week in baseball.
So first, we're going to go out by the bay out in Oakland, where history was made last Saturday night.
And this will be a 2-0 pitch. And it's on the way, and it's swung on a ground ball to short. Simeon's got it. Throws to second for the force, and Sean Manaea has no-hit the Red Sox. And the A's vault out of the dugout. Here they come in from the bullpen, and they're mobbing Manaea just to the left of the pitcher's mound at the Coliseum in Oakland.
But how about Sean Manaea no-hitting the Boston Red Sox? And remember, that was a team in Boston that was 17-2 going into that game. They had Chris Sale on the mound pitching, and Sean Manaea was still able to go out there and be the better man on the mound that night. He is the third Oakland A's pitcher to strike out 10 or more in a no-hitter. He ended up striking out 10, only walking two with the no-hitter. And it was just the seventh no-no in the 51-season history of baseball at the Oakland Coliseum. And so he was doing that basically with three pitches. Manaea's repertoire that he was throwing out there against the Boston Red Sox in a no-hitter last Saturday was basically a four-seam fastball, a changeup, and a slider, and he was able to generate 15 swings and misses in that one. And if that's not good enough, flash forward to his start on Friday against another powerful offense against the Houston Astros on Friday. The Athletics won 8-1. Manaea was able to pick up his fourth win, tossing seven innings of no earned runs, give up one run, was not earned, seven strikeouts. Manaea may be one of the Cy Young favorites in the American League right now for a surprising Oakland A's team. It seems like a guy who's starting to turn it around. He's a guy who's figuring everything out this year. So Manaea off to a great start, and someone else is off to a great start.
Swing and a high fly ball, belted. First home run for Acuna is a tape measure shot in Cincinnati.
Wow, an absolute missile into the second deck, and it's 2-0. Get used to that, Major League Baseball.
That's right, get used to that, Major League Baseball. Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Atlanta Braves hitting his first home run on Thursday. And this is a guy who, before the season started, fans were wondering, why isn't he on the starting lineup? Why isn't he on the roster when the season starts on opening day? And he became a victim of one of those service time rules like Chris Bryant did with the Cubs back in 2015. Don't forget, the Cubs stashed him away. He had a dominant spring training, waited to call him up to a couple weeks into the season because they want to get that extra year before they go into free agency. Same thing with the Braves, wanted to stash him away till this point. He tore up AAA, he tore up spring training. It was just a matter of time before Ronald Acuna Jr. knocked down the door to come into the major leagues, already off to a stellar start. And he's going to be one of those guys that, you just like Shohei Ohtani in the American League, he was the favorite to win the National League Rookie of the Year, showing no reason why he won't so far. Quick look at the standings before we wrap this up for the week. In the American League, the Red Sox are 19-6 and are tops in the AL East. In the AL Central, the Cleveland Indians are at 14-10, are number one in that division. The Detroit Tigers behind them at 10-14, and the Minnesota Twins 8-13. They are in a funk right now. The Twins have lost 8 straight, 1-9 in their last 10 games. A team that was supposed to compete possibly for that AL Central spot, AL Central division title with the Indians. The Twins were a wild card team last year, already off to a rough go, and they found out earlier today that they won't have Byron Buxton for a little while as well, as he injured his toe in a rehab assignment in AAA. So moving on to the AL West, Houston Astros back out in front of the LA Angels. The Astros with a record of 17-10. The Rangers, cellar dwellers right now, record of 10-17. But they have won 2 straight, and as I look at the TV, as of this recording, they are beating the Blue Jays 3-0 in the top of the fourth. So maybe looking for their third straight today if they can hold on into the National League. The New York Mets are a half game ahead of the Philadelphia Phillies in the NL East. In the NL Central, a very tight division where the teams are only separated by about half a game. The Cardinals and Brewers are tied atop of the division with the Pirates just a half game behind them. And the Chicago Cubs only a game behind the Pirates. So really it's just a game about that separates all of those teams in what's always a competitive NL Central. To me, that's the most competitive division in baseball. And in the NL West, the Arizona Diamondbacks are leaps and bounds of everybody else with a record of 18-7. The Rockies are in second with a record of 15-12, 4 games behind Arizona. Well, that does it for this week's episode of the Rangers Wrap-Up Podcast. My name's Taylor Phillips. Be sure to go to KESN1033.com every weekend for the latest episodes of this podcast.